For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
That's what practice is for. That's what all of the training exercises that the military does is for, so they don't have to figure it out in the middle of the battle. So, for some of you guys, maybe you need this sliver of hope right now. You're in the midst of despair. For some of you guys, it's coming, I promise, where you're going to need the hope that is being breathed out to you by the words of Jesus Christ today. And that's where we're going to go into. You see, we're living in a time where it seems like everything is trying to suck the hope right out of our gut. I mean, every single thing. You turn on the news, you open your phone, it's just sucking hope from us. And we understand that we're living in times where we're in desperate need of hope. So that we're just going to step into what that looks like today. Now, if you're in a season, that's fantastic. The danger when it comes to living in a blessed time in our life is that somehow we begin to believe that we are somehow responsible for the blessing, right? Sometimes you think that your hustle, that how much your things are going good, right? Things are going so good in life, we sometimes tend to believe that we are somehow responsible for that blessing in our life. But let me tell you the truth. You have nothing to do with the blessing in your life. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. No. Comes from who? God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And the second you start believing your own hype, the second you start drinking your own Kool-Aid, that is when it gets dangerous. Blessings are great. Having good things are so much fun. But we've got to understand that everything is given to us from God above. You see, I was a few years ago in an incredible season in my life. 7 or 8 years ago, I was touring full-time as a musician, and it seemed like everything I was touching, everything, was turning to gold. I mean, it's like I couldn't do anything wrong. And so, since we live in a world that's hard, we're swimming in spiritual warfare, okay? Whether or not you want to believe it or not, I'm just telling you, you are. We all are. And so, since we're swimming in it, sometimes when things get good, we forget about the warfare. And so since life is hard, and life was hard for me, I was medicating my life, even though things were good, with some secrets. And again, as I'm medicating with these secrets, as we're all medicating with whatever it is we're medicating with, the enemy's gonna try to focus our attention on darkness instead of light. And so during the season of life, things were good. Everything I was touching was turning to gold. I mean, everything. How many of you guys were here last time I spoke, just a few years ago? Okay, I played a video for you. Of a video I filmed of my son singing the Beyonce song, All the Single Ladies. I don't know if you guys remember that video. And I told him, I mean, he was a baby at the time, and I told him he's not a single lady, and he started crying. And then I put that video on YouTube, and overnight, millions of people saw it. You want to see the video?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the video. Watch this.
The Whitaker family of Atlanta was in the car just singing along to Beyonce's hit song, Single Ladies. And then the family fun took an unexpected turn.
Masai, you're not a single lady, buddy. Yes. Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, yes, you are. Single you're a single lady. Oh! Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, buddy. I was just kidding.
Lady.
I was just
you
kidding.
Can do it.
You can do it. Buddy, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, buddy. You're a single lady, okay? Okay? Here we go. If you like it, then you got a butter ring on it.
Sorry. Did that hurt your feelings?
I'm a horrible father, he says no. The video has gone viral, become a YouTube sensation.
So, that happens. Millions of people, overnight. I mean, I filmed a video of my son crying, and it goes viral. My family and I win a People's Choice Award for viral video of the year. I'm telling you, you don't have to applaud my mistakes. But like I said, everything I was touching, right? Everything I was touching, even that, everything I was touching was turning to gold. And I began to believe my own hype. I began to believe that I could get away with the secrets. I could still have my secrets. This medication that was medicating the pain in my life while continuing to exist over here. But let me tell you, friends, you cannot have one foot in darkness and one foot in light. You can't. It can't happen. And so as I was trying to straddle here, everything is going good. It's going good until it is not. And it is not. Will come. Because Jesus will get the glory. He's going to get it all. And he wants to bring his children, his sons and daughters back to him. And it's going to look different for all of us. But there will come a point when the secret medicators of your life are not secret anymore. And let me tell you, a few months after this video went viral, just a few months, I was sitting in my bedroom with my three kids. And I went out just a few months after this video went viral, after we're on national TV, I go out to the living room in our condo to ask my wife a question, and she's not there. And I'm like, babe, hey. She's not there. I go around the corner to grab my laptop, and it was gone. And so was she. And I ran to the front door, and the car was gone. And I knew in that moment that I did not have one foot in darkness and one foot in light. I was swimming in darkness, and I lost everything. I lost everything. And I run back to my kids. I remember sitting them on the sofa and looking them in the eyes and apologizing, saying, Daddy made a mistake. I'm so sorry. Daddy made a mistake. And before I could get to the end of my speech, there was a knock on my front door. And it was my best friend, Blake, and his wife. They said, Heather knows everything. She wants the kids. And it was over. Rock bottom for me in that moment. And I'll never forget that night, shaking my fist at God. God, why did you let these behaviors happen? Why did you let this happen to me? I was singing your praise on Sunday. I'm sorry what I did on Saturday night, but why did you let this happen to me? And I was so angry. And God felt so far away from me. Let me tell you the hope. Here's the good news. God felt far away from me, but the gospel of Jesus Christ has zero to do with my or your feelings. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells me that in that darkest moment where he felt he was so far away, he was right there with me, right here with you right now. So no matter how far away you feel from God right now, ha, good news, he's here. He's here to radically grab you, to radically pull you out of darkness as you sprint into the marvelous light. You want to go there?
Yes.
You wanted some of that this morning? Because that's where we're going to go. That's where we're going to go. And we are going to go. And we understand that it's hard. And life is hard. But I promise you, we're going to get to a space or we're gonna realize that the hope of Jesus Christ is the medication that we're trying to medicate our lives with all these secrets, whatever anxiety and affairs and addictions we may have, that medication does not touch this right here. This is the word of God, and this is it. This is our only hope. You see, here's the good news, even better news. That same family I lost, whoop, they're sitting right there. I see them right now, all five of them. Yeah, he's a God of restoration. He's a God of hope. Now, was it overnight? No, man, my wife was mad, right? That we're human. We got to fix things. We got to step into things. And I started stepping into things, and I started to fix things, and I went to counseling, and I went to therapy, and I went to pray, and I was working hard. I was rolling up my sleeves, and I was working, and I was getting better. Things were getting better, but I couldn't seem to get over the hump. Well, whatever that hump was, for a year I'm going to counseling, things are getting a little better. Another year, things are getting a little better, but things were getting way better, and I wanted it to get way better. And I think I realized, 2 years later, that I'd been trying. Guys, I listened to every single podcast on my sin issue. I read every single book on my sin issue. I listened to every sermon I could on my sin issue. But I couldn't seem to get all the way past it. And I realized that courage and freedom is not found, listen to this, freedom is not found in striving. Okay? A lot of us in here are striving. We're trying our hardest to roll up our sleeves and fix our sin issues in our life. Freedom is not found in striving. Freedom is found in surrender. Okay? That's different. Striving is you trying to figure it out. Surrender is God figuring it out for you. Striving is you trying to figure it out. Surrender is letting God figure it out for you. And so as I slowly found that out, there was one large step of surrender that my therapist wanted me to take. And I'll never forget, we were sitting, this was 2 years after kind of trauma had happened in my life. And I was sitting in his office. And I said, Al, we've been in therapy for 2 years. Like, I feel like I'm almost over the hump, but I can't seem to get it right. And I'll never forget Al looking at me. And this is what he said. He goes, Carlos, your problem is this. You keep rubbing crap on your blessings. That's what he said to me. He said, you keep rubbing crap on your blessings. Every time the Lord gives you something good, for some reason, you feel unworthy. And you rub and smear crap all over it. You somehow don't feel deserving. And we've got to figure out why. You're really close, but we got to figure out why. I said, well, Al, help me. Like, what's going to help me figure that out? And I'll never forget. He goes, Carlos, I think you need to go to this place called On-Site Workshops. And I was like, oh, On-Site Workshops, that sounds like something I go to like in the afternoon, like on a lunch break. I was like, what is that? Where do I go? He's like, oh, it's an hour and a half outside of Nashville, and it's 7 days of experiential therapy. Like 7 straight days, 24 hours a day, you hand them your phone, you're with therapists. And I was like, no. Who would want to do that? I think I can figure this out on my own. That's fine, Al. I just don't think I'm going to do it. He's like, okay. So I go home, and I walk into to my living room, and Heather was like, hey, how was Al today? And I was like, it was good. Like, we're getting close to the end of therapy, but he told me, get this, that he thinks I should go to 7 days of experiential therapy. And Heather goes, where do you sign up? 14 days later, I find myself in my minivan with my wife and my kids driving to 7 days of therapy. And sure, you can applaud that, that's fine. So I'm on my way, and I'm going. And I'm like, but I'm still like, I still don't know why, right? I still don't know why. What is it? Why am I really going? I mean, I know what I did, the trauma that I caused and the pain that I caused, but I needed a little bit more clarity. So I called my dad. And my father, his name is Fermín Agustín Whitaker. He's from Colón, Panama. He came to the United States in 1963 with $20 and a shoe shine kit. And he shined shoes at LAX to where he could make enough money for one semester of college. My dad is now Dr. Fermín Agustín Whitaker. Yeah. Incredible story. But he makes me feel so freaking lazy. The guy's just a giant of the faith. He was pastor of Primera Iglesia Bautista in Pico Rivera. And I call him. And I go, Dad, listen, I'm going to 7 days. I'm going on a retreat. That's what I told him. I didn't want to tell him I was going to therapy. He said, well, why are you going out for 7 days on a retreat? I go, Dad, my therapist Al keeps telling me that I keep rubbing crap on my blessings. And my dad goes, Carlitos, I know why you rub crap on your blessings. Okay, Dad, why did you wait 40 years to tell me? Carlitos, let me tell you a story. Now, before I tell you the story, I need you to imagine the voice of Antonio Banderas and Morgan Freeman, just kind of like squished together into one. And I also have a picture of my dad for you guys. This is a picture of my father. There he is right there. I mean, look at him. He just looks like a saint, right? Like he's filled with the Holy Spirit. But half of you guys right now are going, I've seen that man before. And you actually have, because this is also a picture of my father. My dad is actually the emoji on all of our phones. Like he is that guy. How amazing is that? The first time I saw that emoji, I was like, Dad, it's you. So you got his voice and you got his face. Let's go on the journey. So he goes, let me tell you a story. When I was in Panama preaching my very first revival, I was 18 years old. I get to the invitation, and Miss Ramirez gets up at the back of the church. And Miss Ramirez slowly comes to the front of the church. Nobody else came to the front. And I go, Miss Ramirez, how can I pray for you? She says, Pastor, can you please pray that the Lord cleans the cobwebs from my life? So my dad was like, oh, that was very poetic. So he goes, Carlitos, I prayed that. Dear Lord, please clean the cobwebs from Miss Ramirez's life. He goes, Carlitos, night number two. She comes walking forward again. And I'm thinking, she's going to tell me, he did it. He cleaned the cobwebs. But he goes, no. Miss Ramirez comes forward again and goes, Pastor Fermin, can you pray harder that the Lord cleans the cobwebs from my life? My dad was like, I prayed that last night, but I'll pray it again. So he prayed with a little bit more pizzazz. Lord, clean the cobwebs from Miss Ramirez's life. Ha! Night number three, Miss Ramirez comes forward again. And I knew she was going to tell me he did it. He cleaned them, but no, Carlitos. She comes with tears in her eyes and says, Pastor, can you please pray one more time that the Lord cleans the cobwebs from my life? And my dad said, he looked at her square in the eye and said, no, tonight we pray he kills the spider. Tonight we pray he kills the spider. Is that me? Could be me. So if somebody could just bring me a handheld or something, I could keep preaching my message, no problem. Yeah, here we go. Hey, give it up for this man right here. Always like on demand. Thank you. We're good. I'll just keep it. All right. Tonight we pray he kills the spider. So in that moment, he said, Carlitos, I've watched you your entire life clean the cobwebs of sin. You cannot go to this place and continue to clean the cobwebs. You must find the root of the cobwebs, the source, and kill the spider. Friends, I had never in my life heard my life more perfectly described. I was a professional cobweb cleaner. I was. I'm so good at cleaning the cobwebs of sin. We all are. Why? Because that's easy. When you walk into maybe a cabin that you haven't been in a long time, and you run in face first into a cobweb, you don't pull out your handkerchief and just dab it off. You go full kung fu mode, right? I mean, you ever run into a cobweb, you know what I'm talking about. You're slapping yourself. You're like, ah! And then you go on your business. But we don't ever search out the source of the cobweb. We freak out over the cobweb, but we don't find the source, the root. And so I show up at OnSite, which is the 7 days of therapy. And let me tell you, I've talked about therapy a lot already. You can tell I'm a believer in therapy, but let me tell you something. You can identify, locate, and corner your spider in therapy, but you will never, ever kill and drive a dagger through the heart of that spider without the blood of the cross and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life. It's what you need. Quick fixes and self-help isn't going to help you. But the power of the resurrection, woo! That's where freedom is going to come. That's where freedom and victory is going to come. So let's dive in for just a few minutes, stepping into a space where we can get past those cobwebs and maybe kill the spider in our lives. You see, at the time, I hadn't written my book called Kill the Spider. I didn't necessarily have a definition of what a cobweb was and a spider was, but you guys know, when I told the story and I said, my dad said, you've got to not clean the cobwebs, kill the spider, like you all went, because you know, but I would like to define it as this. A spider, if you're going to take notes, here we go, is an agreement you have made with a lie. Let me say that again. A spider is an agreement you have made with a lie. And let me let every single human being that has breath in this room know, we all have them. The most healthy of human beings in this room has a spider. A spider. This is what we've got to get to. We've got to get to the place where we can find this thing. But that is hard. This takes some work. This is hard to do. Cobwebs, on the other hand, those are a lot easier. Let's talk about a cobweb. A cobweb is a medicator, say with me, that brings false comfort to the lie. Let me say that again. A cobweb is a medicator that brings false comfort to that lie. This is what sells. You walk down the self-help aisle at Barnes & Noble's, it's the cobweb aisle. Because clean the cobwebs, feel better about life. What are some common cobwebs? I mean, the loud, ugly cobwebs, right? Alcohol. It's a cobweb. The alcohol is not the problem. The agreement you've made with the lie that is causing that behavior, that medicator, that is the problem. The spider is the problem, not the cobweb. Pornography. You put a pornography blocker on your phone. You give your password to your wife or whatever. That's cleaning the cobwebs. See, that may help for a second, but that spider's still in your house. And it's still going to come out and spin more webs. You can't just clean the cobwebs. Those are some ugly ones. Well, let's talk about some pretty ones. I'm going to touch all of you guys in here today. How about social media? Ooh. Pull this thing out. I'm not feeling so secure about myself. I'm not feeling very good about myself. There's the lie. You hear it? My worth is based on whatever people believe. Oh, let me take it. Let me take that selfie. Oh, let me go four inches up to lose 4 pounds. Oh, okay. Now I'm here. Click it. Throw it on Instagram. Right at that right angle. Oh, suddenly everyone starts liking it. Starts liking it. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Cobweb. The lie you've made an agreement to is that your worth is based on what other people think, not on what Jesus thinks. See, there's the lie. There's the lie. You get it. You get it, right? You get it. Cobweb. Spider. Cobweb. Spider. It's different for all of us. Working out, some of the most beautiful people on the planet with the most beautiful bodies on the planet. Oh, if I just can't, I should work out, work out, work out, work out. Suddenly, that has become a cobweb. The enemy's going to come in and whisper to you lies that you're going to medicate with things. So let's stop for a second worrying about the cobwebs. And let's talk about the spider. Oh, one more cobweb because I want to touch everybody. How about you hardworking guys? How about you corner office guys? Woo, if I can just make this much money, move into that house, get that corner office, somehow your identity is based on a title. Not on Jesus. See, these things aren't bad. I've got a one pack. Like, it's okay to like want to like be healthy. Like, health, that's not bad inevitably, but the second it starts to medicate a lie the enemy has given you, now we got a problem. So, let's move to the spider. See, cobwebs are easy. You all know, as I'm talking about a cobweb, you know right now what it is. You all know what you medicate with. If you don't, ask your family. Just don't do it in here because we don't have that much time. They'll tell you. The spider, though, that's going to take more work. What is the lie we believe that is causing us to behave this way? That is causing us to bring pain and suffering and so much pain and shame into our lives? What is it? The way you find out what your spider is you have to hear from God. Okay? You have to hear from God. So the first thing we've got to do is come to the realization, and we all have to come to common ground that we can hear from God. See, this is normal. To hear from God is normal. It says in Scripture, when it calls us his sheep, it says that in John 10:10, it says that we will hear his voice over and over. So this is normal for us to be able to hear from God. So if we're going to find out what our spider is, we got to hear from God. What are the ways we can do that? The first thing. We hear from God when we pay attention. Say, pay attention. Okay. Pay attention. God is speaking to us all the time.
all the time. I believe he's speaking to us all the time. The problem, the reason why I think our generation doesn't hear from God is because the volume of our life is so loud. It's so loud. People tell me all the time, Carlos, I can't hear from God. I'm like, well, let's take a look at your day. It's so loud. We move so fast. I mean, in order to step into someone else's story, I just heard this a few weeks ago. My grandparents, in order for them to like bring another person's story into their life, someone had to mail them a letter. And then they would tell them some news. And whether that news be good or bad, they would enter into that person's story. And then they would share it with their friends and family. Then my parents got these things called telephones, and they used to be attached to the wall. And in order for my parents to get invited into someone else's story, they actually had to be close enough to the phone in their home to hear it ring. Then they would walk over to it, and they would answer it, and they could only walk like so far unless you had those long cords that, you know, when you were dating and you wanted to talk, you know, in your bedroom, you know, you'd pull that thing all the way in your room. You know what I'm talking about. And that's how you'd get invited into someone else's story. Then we got answer machines. Now more stories. And then 24-hour news cycles. And now, friends, the second your alarm goes off, the second your alarm goes off in the morning, I promise you, and you can promise me that you don't turn that alarm off and just put your phone back down. No, that's not what we do. We enter into hundreds and thousands of stories in that second. Open up Instagram, scroll, 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 story, story, stories on our shoulders. And we wonder why we can't hear from God. The volume of life is so loud. Then the last thing a lot of us do before we go to bed is story, 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 go to bed. We have to pay attention, and it's hard to pay attention when we're so involved. I mean, that's a whole other message, right, that we can get into that I won't get to right now. But you've got to pay attention. And I'm telling you, God is speaking all the time. My wife and I were on our way back from Ireland just a few years ago. And we're flying back, and we're super jet lagged, both of us. And I'm the kind of husband that if my wife even kind of has a halfway frown on her face, I want to make her happy. And so, like, I start telling her some jokes. Nothing's working. And we're at the Detroit airport at P.F. Chang's. We got one more flight before we get home. Super jet lagged. So I decide to make her laugh. I'm going to tell her a story about this time I was leading worship, and there was my percussion player, and he forgot his egg shaker. You know the little egg shaker that drummers play? He forgets it. And so we had to go to Guitar Center before the worship set, and the only shape egg shaker that they had was in the shape of a banana. So he comes on stage with me, and he's shaking this banana the whole set or whatever. It's great, whatever. But this old woman comes forward at the end of the worship set, and she's like, worship is great, but why was your friend shaking a banana the whole worship set? And so I thought that was funny, like 10 of you. And my wife, she just doesn't think it's funny. And I failed at making her laugh. So I'm like, okay, you know what? We're just going to pay the bill, get on the flight, and go home. So the waitress comes. And she brings us our bill, and at P.F. Chang's, on top of the bill is a what? Fortune cookie. And so I open the fortune cookie, and I freaked out. Because what word do you think was on that fortune? Banana!
What?
I put it in a frame, and it's next to my bed! Banana! What? So I stand up and I'm running around like, where's the camera? It's like, oh my gosh, like I gotta be on TV or something. This can't be real. And finally my wife starts laughing at God, not at me. Because God is always with us. He is always there. He's speaking to us all the time. But you have to pay attention. You gotta pay attention. This is normal. This is supposed to be normal. Some of you guys, right now I only got half of you. You're like, oh, okay, that's a coincidence. Friends, never in my life have I told a story with the central theme being a banana. And I've eaten, I don't know, a million fortune cookies in my life. None of them have ever said banana. That was not a coincidence. That was the Lord. He's with us all the time. And this is supposed to be normal. And you know what? I'd give it to you. That was a coincidence if that just happened that day. But this stuff, it happens every single day. All day long. He's with us. You just got to pay attention. So what are we paying attention to now? We're trying to ask the specific question. What is my spider? See, that's where we're trying to get to. We're trying to hear from God so he can tell us what is the agreement we've made with a lie. At some point in your life, there was pain and trauma, and you agreed to a lie. So sometimes it takes some work, some digging. You've got to ask God the question. We hear from God, number two, watch this. When we ask questions. Say, ask questions. Okay, listen, listen. You may have been taught something else. I'm teaching you this. We serve a God that answers specific questions. He's not a vague God. Listen, you may pray vague prayers, but the second you get diagnosed with a disease, I guarantee you, your prayers are not vague anymore. They are specific. That tumor in that part of my body, right there, specific. So if we're that specific in times of trauma, let's get that specific all the time. You see, when you ask specific questions, he gives you specific answers. In my journal, every single day, I ask God specific questions. And guess what? I get specific answers. I do. Whether it be through a conversation, through a song, through the Lord himself, through a word, through someone else coming up to me, giving me a word, there are specific answers he wants to give you if you ask specific questions. If my daughter wants to go on a date with me, and she just walks up to me and stares at me, I don't know what she's asking. I need her to say, I want to go on a date with you. Then I'm going to take her on a date. Now, hey, I'm a limited human being. God can read our mind. But there's something powerful about when we speak things out and when we ask questions specifically. So as you begin to ask God specifically, what is the agreement I've made with the lie? That's the specific question I want you guys to ask. I want you to listen to this. A friend of mine, Marcus, he'd been watching my wife and I kind of walk out this conversational kind of intimacy with Jesus. And he was like, Carlos, like, you hear from God all the time. Like, I've just grown up in a church. I've never heard from him. I said, well, have you practiced? He was like, what do you mean practice? I was like, have you practiced hearing from God specifically? He's like, well, no. I said, well, let's practice. He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, I want you to ask God where we should go to lunch today. He's like, come on, man. God doesn't care where we go to lunch. I was like, oh, yes, he does. He loves Chick-fil-A. Like, I know, like, he's going to say Chick-fil-A. He loves it. So he said, okay, let me pray. So he goes, Jesus, and you could tell he was really trying. He was trying. He was like almost shaking. He's like, Jesus, where should me and Carlos go to lunch today? And then I remember him specifically like looking up and then looking side to side and then kind of be like, what's supposed to happen now? Is he supposed to be like, Marcus, like, what's it supposed to be? I was like, I don't know. He's like, what do you mean you don't know? You're the one that told me to practice. It's like, tell me. And I was like, what do you feel? Oh, well, now we're talking about feeling? Like, I mean, is that how you hear from God? Like, I feel like we should go to Thai Phuket, which is this Thai restaurant, over in Tennessee Titans parking lot. And I said, all right, well, is that God? He's like, I don't know. I said, well, let's go. So we go to Thai Phuket. We walk in. Spoiler alert. Jesus did not appear in my Thai chicken curry. He didn't rise in steam in the shape of Jesus. No, we had a nice lunch. It was fine. And we actually forgot that we were talking about hearing from God. So we walk out. I walk to my minivan, and he walks to his motorcycle, different seasons of life. And this man, he comes sprinting out of Thai Phuket. Hey, man! Hey, you! Hey, man, come here! And we were both like, whoa. I mean, this guy was like as redneck as Tennessee rednecks can be. I mean, he was like, redneck, whoa. And we were like, oh, no. Marcus is like, yeah? He's like, man, you. And he goes up to Marcus. Hey, man, you. Do you sometimes work on your laptop at Frothy Monkey in 12 South? Which is like this coffee shop that Marcus sometimes works in. And Marcus is like, yeah? He's like, oh, my God, man. You don't think I'm crazy? And we were both like, yeah. Man, listen, you were in there last week, and I was in there too, and I was reading my Bible, and you walked in, and I felt like the Lord said to pray for you, but I didn't, and I was disobedient, and I didn't even think twice about it until you walked into Thai Phuket, and oh my God, like I couldn't let you walk out of this restaurant, so I had to chase you and tell you, can I please pray for you? Glory, come on. I was like, what? So then, Marcus looks, his eyeballs are this big. And I left Marcus in that parking lot with that strange man. And Marcus called me. He called me just 15 minutes later and he goes, I get it. I get it. He does answer our specific questions. Guys, don't be scared to get specific. Don't be scared to get specific because I know why you're scared. You're scared to get specific because what if he doesn't answer you? What if he does? That's what I ask you, because God will answer every single time. He answers and he's there and he's available for your specific need. I could spend hours up here telling you my daily life on how he's very specific. He's going to tell you. And we're going to ask in just a few minutes, God, be specific to me. Be specific just to me. But a lot of questions I get after you find out what your spider is, because you're going to know. He's going to tell you what the agreement is you made with the lie. Well, Carlos, how do I know I killed it? And in my book, I tell you, it's really simple. It's not hard. This is how you kill your spider. Ready? It's really easy. You confess the lie. Once you got it, you confess it. You reject it in the name of Jesus Christ by the blood of the cross and the power of his resurrection. You reject it. And then, key, you got to replace the lie with God's truth. Don't just leave that empty hole in there. You replace it with God's truth. And at that point, I promise you, the spider's dead. It's gone. It's over. Freedom is here. But Carlos, I don't know. Like, are you sure? How do I know? Scripture tells you exactly how. Watch this. It tells us. It says in Romans 8:6, for the mindset of the flesh is what? Death. But the mindset of the spirit is life. Is there a period after life? No. Life what? And peace. You see, there is more than life. There is more than just life. So many Christians put a period right here. We think that if we just get eternal life, that's it. God doesn't want you to just have eternal life. He wants you to have more. He wants you to have life and peace. Oh, friends, when you get that peace in you, yes, amen. When you get that peace inside of you, you are going to know. That's when you kill the spider. And spoiler alert again, peace, it says, is like a river, okay? If you're waiting for a stagnant peace, that's not what peace is. Peace moves. It is flowing. Peace is not like a puddle. Peace is like a river. So when you get this flowing peace in your life, you're going to know. All right, Carlos, peace, I think I get it. You have something else? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I do. Here's another scripture, John 10:10. Watch this. This is so good. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. Is there a period after life? No. Life and have it in what? Abundance. Oh, abundance. You see, that's how you're going to know when you kill the spider, when you've got life in abundance. Abundance. Guys, there's so much freedom waiting for you, but you're going to know when you get this. What does it look like? What does it look like? I'm going to leave you guys with this. My family and I, this is how you're going to know you've killed it. We were camping in the High Sierras, Huntington Lake, a couple months ago, and we're camping. And if you've ever been in the High Sierras, at night the stars are magical, millions of stars. And so my kids had gone into the tent to go to bed, and my wife and I were out by the fire, and we're looking up, and the stars were just as massive as you've ever seen. And my wife leans over, she's like, hey, can you take a picture of the stars? And I was like, yeah, I can take a picture. So I went and I grabbed her camera. She's got one of those fancy cameras with like the knobs and the buttons and stuff. And I don't know how to use those things. But so when you don't know how to use a fancy camera, what mode do you put it on? Auto mode, right? Well, why do you put it on auto mode? Go ahead. It's going to take a picture. You're going to get a picture. So I put it on auto mode. I aimed that puppy at the sky. And I went click. And I looked at it and I was kind of underwhelmed. But I walked over to my wife and I said, oh, hey, babe, how's this picture? So this is the picture that I took. Now, there's the tent. And there's like 45 stars. And I remember her going, ha, I mean, that's cute. But that's not the picture that I want. I want to see all the stars in the sky. I said, well, I don't know how to do that. Like, I just put the camera on auto mode. She's like, oh, no, you can't put it on auto mode. You have to put it on manual mode. Well, if I put it on manual mode, I don't know what I'm doing. She's like, yeah, I know, but you're gonna have to practice text some of your friends? So I texted some of my friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, you want a picture of the stars? This is what you have to do. You have to put it on auto mode. Then you have to open the shutter speed to 30 seconds so that the shutter stays wide open for 30 seconds. And the reason why you do that is all the light has to invade the camera and hit the sensor. But not only keep the shutter open for 30 seconds, you have to take the aperture. You have to move it from 3.8 to 1.8. And then that makes the iris go this big. But listen, you can't just hold it in your hand because the shutter's so wide open. And if you move it at all, then it's going to get blurry. So you have to put it on a tripod, and then you can't push it from there. You got to use a remote trigger from your camera. And I'm like, I just want to take a freaking picture of the stars. Does it have to be this complicated? And guys, I tried and I failed. And I tried and it was completely white. You couldn't even see anything. Then I tried and it was completely black. And I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm failing and I'm failing and I'm practicing and I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm failing and I'm failing. And after an hour, I finally got a picture, and this was the picture that I took. Friends, listen, listen, this is life with abundance. This is a life when you've killed your spider. And listen, so many of us have been living our lives. Can we put the other picture back up if you don't mind? You've been living your life in auto mode. You've been living your life where none of the stars are available. This is, and we think this is all that God has for us. But no, it says that God is going to give you life and abundance. Let's put up the picture one more time, the second one. This is what God has for you when you've killed your spider. This is what's available. This is available right here, right now. That's it. But this is going to take practice. This is going to take taking your life and moving it off of auto mode. This is going to take practicing hearing from God and not hearing anything. Hearing from God, asking a question and not hearing something. Asking a question and not hearing. And then finally, after you practice, I promise, guys, abundance is waiting. You don't have to live your life in auto mode anymore, getting a fraction of what God has for you. Stand to our feet, if you guys don't mind. And right now, I know in this room that there are so many of us that have been living our life in auto mode. We've been living our life just going to church, just reading our Bible once a day, just whatever, just going through. If I can just get through life, and if God can just help me through my anxiety, if I can just get past my depression, if I can just get God to help me deal with my problems, deal with my anxiety, deal with all these issues in my life, and get to heaven. Oh, then once I get to heaven, it's going to be great. Friends, Jesus did not die on a cross so you can cope. He didn't. We don't serve a coping God. We serve a God that specializes in complete and total freedom, restoration, redemption, renewal, and revival. I'm going to invite our prayer ministers to come forward right now. And I believe that there's a lot of people in this room that have been living in auto mode, and you are ready to step into manual mode. So right now, I'm going to invite you just to be brave. And if you want to pray, to begin to specifically hear from God about what your spider is, I'm going to ask you to come forward right now. Just step out of your seats, wherever you're at. And right up front, we're going to have these people that are going to pray with you guys. Yeah, give them a hand, guys. They're coming right down here, right over here. If you're tired of not hearing from God, if you're ready to hear from God, if you're ready to get to the space where you can kill this spider, right now, right up front at this altar, this is going to be our specific prayer.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.